Good morning, all. Good morning. Good morning. Hallelujah. Well, in theme of what we've been hearing, actually, I would like to speak on liberty of a sound mind. You've been hearing about, you know, how we need more faith. You know, how is it that we view ourselves even as Christians, as believers in Christ Jesus? So I'm going to be speaking from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 10. So that will be 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 10. Now at this time, Paul is imprisoned in Rome as a result of persecution under the Roman Emperor Nero, and he's writing to remind and encourage Timothy to guard the gospel, which we'll find in 1 and 14, to persevere in it, which you can find in 3 and 14, and to keep on preaching it in chapter 4 and verse 2. But I would like to draw our attention especially to verse 7 once we've read through, and you'll understand why in a moment. In his first book, to Timothy, Paul was actually out and about in Macedonia, and he was, you know, building up churches, planting churches, but the whole scenario has changed because Nero decided that he wanted to build something, I believe, and in order to do that, his vision was, well, we'll burn part of Rome down so that I can build something. And when that backfired, you know, oh, I need somebody to blame. I know, let's blame the Christians. They're up and coming, you know. So there's a bit of a persecution coming on. So this is why this is a letter of encouragement. This is a letter. So to us is a letter of encouragement. So let's read. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. I am reading from the King James Version. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Interesting, isn't it? Unfeigned faith. Well, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who have saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, as we have already heard, not according to our works, and I've lost it, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who have abolished death and have brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Amen. Heavenly Father, let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, as we come before you for the blood of the Lamb, we just surrender up all that we hear today and ask that it would be your words upon my lips, that it would be your words touching our hearts, it would be your word coming alive in our lives. We ask for that in Jesus' name. I say immortality carefully because Pastor Trevor has kept a record of my little innuendos and he understands exactly what that means. So verse 7, let's come back to verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Now, the spirit of power is an authority of influence that we can walk in if we're trusting in what God has said to us, if we're trusting in what God has called us to be. He has a calling on each and every life. And I think it was Steve that said in one of his prayers, you know, it doesn't matter how we may view ourselves, how timid and unimportant we may think of ourselves, let's reverse it and see how God looks at us. He has called us, He has raised us up, and He has put a power and authority in us that He wants us to walk in. So the authority of influence is a force, especially miraculous powers. This is what this particular spirit of power is talking about in this verse. Miraculous power, the ability in abundance. So we're not talking about a little drip. It's not something you've got to wait upon. It's there within us. God has instilled us the Holy Spirit, and He enables us to walk in that power and authority, to bring deliverance when deliverance is needed, to bring healing when healing is needed. Every one of us is a specialized person. Yes, there are some that are called to be prophets. There are some that are called to be teachers. There are some that are called to be evangelists. But every one of us is called by the power and grace of God to be His hands, His feet. Mightily indeed, a worker of miracles. Today, are we walking in the power of the Spirit? In Romans 8 and verses 15 to 16, it says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God." There's a Bill Johnson that we all know, but there's his brother, Bob Johnson. And he was on an outreach event. And he doesn't say much about this particular gentleman, but whilst the people who were outside ready to go and, reach those who were in need, apparently this person who was had nowhere to live, absolutely nowhere to live, he came up and asked to be a part of what they were doing. So he said, "Yes, sure, come and be a part of what we're doing." So they're just explaining to the team, and encouraging the team what it is they're wanting and expecting. And the guy who volunteered turns around and says, "Wait," he said, so this is a God thing." So Bob says, "Yes, this is about God. This is about Jesus." So they give him more instruction, and the guy turns around and says, "So what? You mean I've got to surrender to this Jesus? I've got to bow down to Him?" So Bob turns around and says, "Yes, that's part of what we'll be ministering today." So there and then, he surrendered his life to Christ and gave his life to Christ. So then they go out, and they come across somebody who is really not very well. And this guy who's, just given his life to the Lord, he said, "Oh, let me pray for him. Can I pray for him?" He said, no, we'll let more experienced amongst us have a go. And so instead of getting better, apparently he starts manifesting. So he was asked twice if he could have a go at praying for him. And on the third time, he said, "Yes, you can have a go." And he said, and in the name of, and he'd forgotten the name. He'd forgotten the name of the Lord Jesus who he'd just given his life to. So he said, "Who is his name again?" So he said, "In the name of Jesus." So he laid his hand on this person and he said, "And in the name of Jesus, be healed." And he was healed instantly. He was delivered of a demon. And you think, wow, that's God. That is God all round, isn't it? He doesn't look at how many years we may think we have or how many years we may not have had in his presence. But if we have a heart to serve him, he will do what we ask. So that's the spirit of power. Are we confident that we're walking in what God has called us to be? Let's be bold. Let's be outrageous in the love that Christ has for us. His outrageous love for us was to die upon that cross. He didn't actually surrender power and authority. He was just being obedient to God. So even though death overcame him, he was lifted up and seated at the right hand of God. Hallelujah. So that was the first one. The second one in verse 7, and of love, absolute grace. We turn to Ephesians 5 first off. Of course, I'm unfamiliar with this Bible. Yeah. So Ephesians 5 and just verse 2. And walk in love as Christ also have loved us and have given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savour, it says here. So what is this love? What is this love that we want to walk in? As Christ has loved us and have given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savour. It's unusual there, isn't it? Sweet smelling savour. I'm sure it doesn't say that if you haven't got the King James Version. A sweet smelling savour. Isn't that a wonderful aroma? A pleasing aroma. Did I hear somebody say a fragrance? Yeah. Fragrance of love. So what's the fragrance of love look like? When somebody is causing you grief or is abusing you in some way, and you're walking in the love of Christ, this is what it can look like. It's an unmerited favor, a goodness towards those who have no claim, no reason to expect, a love without chains. See, sometimes the reason people are being aggressive towards us is because they've not experienced that love, because they've not walked and known the love of God. And that's then our opportunity to say, actually, this is the love of Christ. How can I help you? What is it that I can do that will bring restoration? You turn things around when people behave badly towards you. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And we've been hearing a lot this morning about don't be in fear. God's love casts out all fear. When we're in the presence of that love, no matter what it is that we're facing, our reaction will be in love, in grace, and in mercy. And that's important. That's important when you're wanting to bring freedom, when you're wanting to bring restoration. If we react in fear, we're once again serving doubt, we're serving lies, we're serving uncertainty. But when you're serving love, when you're walking in love, you're walking in complete grace and mercy, because God has enabled us to deliver his love, to see somebody raised up, to see somebody set free, to see somebody restored. I think sometimes, even as Christians, we tend to hold things against one another and maybe respond in an unworthy manner. That's actually dishonoring God's and God's love. We don't have that much time in which to waste on disagreements, on different views. The one view we are certain of is Christ Jesus as our Lord and our Savior, as our Redeemer. He's paid the price and it is eternal. That is good news. So as believers in Christ Jesus, you know, if we can't agree, then let's move on in the love of Christ. Let's ask Christ to help us overcome that disagreement, whatever it may be, for we need to honor one another. In the Strong's Concordance, it's the agape love. It's the unconditional love that's always given and impossible to take or be a taker. It devotes total commitment to seek your highest best, no matter how anyone may respond. This form of love is totally selfless and does not change whether the love given is returned or not. It was one of those songs where it was singing about his love is wider. It's like no matter how much you try to offend, how much you try to throw the rotten egg, it's not going to get around God's love, because God's love is bigger. God's love is greater. God's love is all-consuming, and it's within us. So when that rotten egg comes our way, we're able to step out in love. When the fingers are pointing our way, we're able to respond in love. That's the power of love in us. And finally, a sound mind. I'll put this, a sound mind. I put down attention to alignment. Sometimes we forget that we need to renew our mind. We need to do it on a daily basis. To renew our mind means that we want to walk in ways of a godly manner. That means we need to be in the Word. We need to be reading what it is that God is calling us to do today. We need to be refreshing our mind, our spirit, on a daily basis in God's Word. Because He doesn't want us to be like the robot. You know, the robot will do something automatically, consistently, perfectly, yes. But that's not how God wants us to be. He created us to have a choice. He chose, created us to have a free will. And in that free will, we say, yes, I want to serve my God. I want to serve my God with a whole heart, with all my heart. I want to serve Him. I want to bless Him. I want to do what's right because I know what He has told me. And I only know what He has told me because I read it in His Word. A sound mind means to have discipline, self-control, admonishing or calling soundness of mind to moderation. Paul says in Ephesians 5 and 15, "See that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Circumspectly. I must admit, it's not necessarily a word that I would use, so it's thoughtfully, guardedly, carefully. Now, these are words that I do understand. Sometimes, instead of giving that hasty response, just step back, think about how to respond in a loving manner, how to respond in a gracious manner. You know, the anointing and the power that each and every one of us has, the anointing and the power, is connected to obedience. There is no power in reacting the same way as others treat us. There is no power in reacting the same way that others treat us. Let's look at David and Saul. Now, Saul lost the anointing. He served as king for 40 years. David was anointed as king, although Saul was still king. David came into the courts and he played the harp to soothe Saul's soul. You will also read that it was many a time that Saul tried to kill David with the spear in that court. And how did David react? He just evaded him. He didn't take up the same hostile manner. He evaded him. In that situation, he evaded him. And I believe there was three times that David, even though he'd been anointed himself as king of Israel, he could have killed Saul. And yet, he observed the anointing that God had originally given Saul and was allowing God's purposes to be fulfilled. Sometimes we take things into our own hands. Even though we know we've been given the anointing or we've been given the calling, there's something in the way. And when that happens, we have to be in remembrance that God will do things in His timing. Just because we sometimes know what it is we have doesn't necessarily mean that we walk in it in unrighteousness. God calls us to walk in His ways in righteousness. And when the fulfillment comes, then the maximization of anointing shows the faithfulness that we have in obedience to God. So the anointing and power is connected to obedience. So we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captivity every thought to make it obedient to Christ. In Isaiah 26 and verse 3, it says, You'll keep him in perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. So how is our walk today with the Lord? Proverbs 15 and 21 says, "Folly is a joy to him who lacks sense, but a man of understanding walks straight ahead." Could the band come up, please? Because I want to end with this. So today's calling, the liberty of a sound mind. How is our mind today? How are we going to allow our mind to work today? We're going to work tomorrow. Let us walk in the spirit of power and authority. That means we're going to trust in our God. We have confidence of what He has done in us and is doing in us. Let's walk in love, that we may be clothed in the grace of our Lord. There's nothing wrong with walking with a sound mind, seeking to live by the Father's calling in full assurance of his truth. If any of this has been speaking to you this morning, and you feel that you could do with a bit of prayer, of restoration maybe, or if you're maybe a visitor and you're not necessarily a believer in Christ Jesus, and today is a day that the Lord wants to restore you. We've heard about a homeless guy who came to know the Lord in mere moments because he just wanted to be a helper. He just wanted to help out. God wants us all to come into his kingdom. He wants us all to be helpers. If any of this has touched you and you want to come forward for prayer, then please come forward. Amen.